cliffcentral.com.
Good afternoon to everybody. This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. My name is Sibonelo Khuzwayo, well known as @SportKhuzi. Actually, I'm just mentioning my social media handles. But yeah, I'm known as SportKhuzi, DJ SportKhuzi, as the ones that know me. But yeah, welcome to another edition of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We are very thrilled to be with you again. I hope everybody's good and they've had a very good week so far. Our show always plays towards the end of the week. And again, we just that mid... I like to say maybe come in closer to the middle of the week. But yeah, we also just here to give you some motivation. You know, we're trying to make sure that we give you the best content for the show on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. And today, again, I've got a very interesting guest. If you're going to be doing something, it's in the afternoon. If you're going to be doing something, don't move. If you tuned in, I welcome everybody that's tuned in via the app, the Cliff Central app. Thank you so much for going to your app store and downloading the Cliff Central app onto your phone and tuning in to the show. And shout out to everybody that's in the office that's tuning in via their computers, their laptops. Shout out to everybody at home. Shout out to everybody at university, at school, at reses. You are welcome on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We do recognize you, and we recognize everybody else in different kind of platforms or ways that they've tuned in and live streaming to the international in Africa, abroad in Europe, wherever you are. You welcome into the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. You can hashtag us on social media. It is hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. It's hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. And again, we also, all the time, we try to have some space to interact with you guys. You can actually get in touch with me on WhatsApp. It's 0797482090. It's 0797482090. That's how you can actually interact with us on the show. If there's anything that you want to ask, you want to participate, you want to say something, just send those WhatsApp texts. You can send WhatsApp voice notes. We welcome them, just to give you an option to be able to be interactive with you at home. And yeah, as I said, you can also hashtag me or tag me on social media. It's @SportKhuzi. I'm going to be also on live stream on the Instagram live video. You can also check out the Cliff Central social media platform, which is going to also be showing you some interesting things on the show. But yeah, on Instagram, it's @SportKhuzi. On Twitter, it's @SportKhuzi. And yeah, we're going to be with you until 4 o'clock. I'm so amped up. I'm actually feeling great, even though I actually have the flu. And you know, it's that time of the year where, you know, we're all getting sick, and you begin to see adverts of flu medicines and remedies on TV. So yeah, it's that time. But hey, I'm not gonna let the flu get drag me down. I'm gonna be here to give the best that I have of myself, because yeah, I'm very excited. I'm passionate about radio, and I'm really glad and blessed to be with you again today. But yeah, man, it's been an interesting one. We're looking forward to be actually seeing the starting of the World Cup, and I know all the soccer fans are really anticipating a really brilliant soccer World Cup that's going to be happening in Russia. We had our own version in 2010 in South Africa, and again, I think everybody's getting into that spirit of football. You know, you're going to see people wearing different t-shirts, people wearing different countries where they support them. I mean, there's people that are really passionate about football. The others support some countries from abroad. Some of them are going to be rooting for some of our own African countries, which I think it's going to be making sense. For myself, actually, I do have a lot of love and passion for some of the other teams that are from other Europe or South America, whatever the case is. But I also have this thing where I'm saying to myself, let me actually support an African team. You know, because again, we know when, I mean, I think there's a point in time, I can't remember which year it was. I think Senegal was doing very well, and Ghana, they went into the quarterfinals, and you know, they rooted the African flag very high, and it shows the standard at which African actually competes with the rest of the world. But yeah, I thought I should share that. I'm very excited for the World Cup. It's we're going to the weekend, and there's going to be very exciting things that are going to be happening. But yeah, this is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. I'm going to introduce my guest onto the show right now. He is with me in studio. You can just come closer to the mic, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Cliff Central listeners. My name is Levoy Slava, and I'm a property investor. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a coach, and I'm also a speaker for Vichdad Education.
Okay, cool. So now I'm gonna start off just to break the ice.
Okay.
Before we get into the serious stuff. So basically, in terms of your view in terms of the World Cup that's coming up, what's your take?
Look, normally Bafana Bafana's not there, which they haven't been there for quite a while. I'm normally a Brazil supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil supporter. But I think for this World Cup, I'm going for Argentina.
Yeah.
Reason being is Messi, man. He's just too great not to win a World Cup.
Yeah.
So I want him to get a World Cup, and I'll also be supporting the African nations, Nigeria.
Yeah.
I think I'm going for Nigeria.
Okay. Why Nigeria?
You know, I think I have more love for Nigeria than for the Egypts and for the Moroccos up there. So mm-hmm. it feels closer to home.
Yeah. But I think the Nigerian national team has actually done very well for themselves, where they've actually redeemed their national integrity in terms of football.
Yeah.
Because there was a point that I think they were going through a lot of problems. You know, it was affecting in terms of the coaching.
Yes.
You know, at some point the coach actually just quit. And Nigeria's always been that country that, you know, when it comes to such world platforms,
They
represent Africa very well. And I think I'm very proud of them. And the funny thing is that, again, we're living in a country where there's a lot of African people.
Exactly.
From either Ghana, from Nigeria. So I think the Africa, the World Cup is going to bring quite a bit of excitement into the country. And again, I've also got some Nigerian friends who, you know, they're very passionate about football and everything. But yeah.
But yeah, I think all the African countries are looking strong as well.
Okay.
Nowadays, you don't get any. There's not any weak countries anymore. So I believe that hopefully we can get one or two in the quarterfinals, getting to the semis.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
All right, cool. That's enough about football. But yeah, man, we're all about inspiration. We're all about bringing people some interesting content. The type of guests that we bring onto the show are people that we recognize as, you know, they are movers and shakers. They are people that are always on the grind. They are people that are always inspired. Because again, it's not only about making money. It's about reaching back and pulling some other people with you in whatever form it is, whether it's a form of sharing your experience or just, you know, talking about yourself. I mean, sharing the hardship that you've gone through, because, I mean, we're living in a time where there's so much challenge in terms of achieving things. I mean, we're living in a very competitive world.
Yeah.
And I think the Unplugged and In Charge radio show brings people that are always going to remind you that, yo, you have what it takes to achieve your goals. But yeah, just share us a little bit. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? Just tell us a bit of your background as you grew up in terms of your city of birth.
Okay. So I was born in Reicher Park. It's in Boksburg. So I was born in Reicher Park, and we moved out of Reicher Park. I think I was one or two, so I can't really remember that. We moved to Geluksdal in Brakpan. And then we moved to Geluksdal in Brakpan and I stayed there up until about 11, 12, and my parents got divorced. So then we moved back to Boksburg again. So I went to Khuduwa Primary School, and I went to Boksburg High School.
Yeah.
My high school. Yeah. And for most of my life I've stayed in the Boksburg area. That's basically where I'm from.
Okay.
From the East Rand.
East Rand.
Hey.
Alright, cool. So you were born in East Rand.
Born in East Rand.
Born and bred and everything.
Yeah.
Your life is in the East Rand. Are you still living in
living in the East Rand.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So you've never been passionate to maybe explore other areas and places that you could possibly live?
I have. You know, one of my goals is to one day is just to move out. But for now, I'm, you know, it's close to family.
Sure.
If you're close to your family, it's difficult. Especially you're used to your mother's not far, cousins are not far. So so that's why I enjoy Boksburg, actually, because it's central.
Yeah.
It's close to the airport.
Yeah.
You can get on to the N17 and you're in this side. The M2 is right there.
Sure.
And we don't have the traffic that you guys have in Livonia and Joburg, so no, I enjoy it.
All right. So would I be correct if I said you're a type of man that likes his comfort zone?
Yeah, in certain areas, I would say that's definitely with the way I'm staying now. That's definitely in my comfort zone. But one day, I actually told my wife, I said, "Listen, we have to move somewhere where we don't know anyone, and just see how it is to start."
Yeah,
a new life somewhere for.
So in terms of you've always been in the East Rand. Was there any point in time in your life where maybe you moved maybe to, I don't know, Cape Town, Eastern Cape, or move to Mpumalanga. You've always been in East Rand.
I've always, look, I travel quite a lot. So I go to Cape Town once a month, almost close to once every second month.
Yeah.
So in South Africa, I've traveled quite a lot, and yeah, man, it's just that. I think my sister moved to Namibia now.
Yeah.
And my mom is moving back home to the homelands in KZN. So which means basically I'm going to be alone in Boksburg. So then's going to be my chance to say, listen.
Yeah.
Let's. Right. But with the kind of work that I do with the property and the investments that I do, I mostly do it on the East Rand. But
sure.
But after a while, it doesn't matter where you are anymore. You just, once it's set up, you can manage it from anywhere.
All right, cool.
In the world.
Now, in terms of you growing up and going to school at primary school, I mean, what type of kid, were you a kid that's always, you know, listening to the teacher, you know, instructions? You know, you were the one that always came to school with polished shoes and you made sure that you looked neat until you go home to school. Or you were that kid that, you know, you were always being in trouble and, you know, you went to detention. I mean, what kind of a background did you grow up in?
I would say I was one of the naughty kids. Let me say that. I was good at sport. Always made the provincial teams, but I was naughty. So I was never the one. The nice part about the school was, I never used to study hard, but I always got decent
marks.
Decent marks, which was quite weird. So, but I wasn't one of the good kids at school, and that. And I think the reason for that is because I always wanted to be part of the cool kids. I don't know if you always want to be part of the cool kids.
Yeah.
And the cool kids, this was now going from primary school into high school. The cool kids are always the ones that are naughty, the ones with girls, the ones in high school was the ones that are drinking, the ones going to parties.
Sure.
And that looks so cool to me, and I always wanted to be part of that, and it got me into a lot of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Lot of trouble, my man. A lot of trouble.
Tell us.
Started drinking from about standard 6. I don't know what it is now. Grade 8. When I was there, it was still standards. Grade 8. Then started smoking in grade 9. Started with ecstasy in grade 10.
Sure.
Moved on to acid. Mm-hmm. And then coke. And then cat. And then, yeah, and then I came to, after school, I came to WITS, did marketing and business management.
All right. Can I just pause you right there? Because I want to concentrate on an issue that you just actually mentioned, yeah. Drugs.
Yes, sir.
And it's something that, again, it's one of the problems that we face in the country. And actually, not only in the country, but, I mean, in other countries as well.
Yeah.
But mainly amongst young people.
Yeah.
And I want you to expand a little bit in terms of you going into the drug space.
Mm.
And obviously I think it's something that was inspired by peer pressure.
Yeah.
Again,
definitely.
you say that you wanted to be part of the cool kids.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be cool, and you, there was an element of you that was saying to you, look, I feel left out. There's something that I want to experience, and I want to be part of a group so that I may be defined according to that.
Yeah.
And your identity, you saw your identity being defined by a group and
yes.
doing what they wanted you to do,
yeah.
but not what you wanted to do. So I want you to share, how did you go into drugs? What is it that made you decide to say, hey, I'm doing this thing?
Look, I think it could be a few things. Someone asked me the other day, what was it? And I was thinking about it, and I said, listen, you know what? I can't put my finger exactly on what the one reason is I got into that. It could be, look, I think it was a low self-esteem, but insecure at the time. And obviously, as a kid, a lot of things happened. Parents got divorced. So I think it's a few things. I can't blame that, but I was always unsure of myself. Not sure where I fit in. Who am I? I wasn't exactly sure who I was. And I always wanted to be with the... And I think that's what led me to get to the guys that are a bit more confident, a bit more out there, a bit more wild. And it just looked like they're having so much fun.
And now in terms of at home, because I know that when people go into drugs, there's a certain element where they actually get their families very worried.
Yeah.
At home, when at that phase of your life, what was your parents' response and what is it that the family began to do? Because some people get to a level whereby they get disowned. And you know, that's where you find people running into the streets. They become street kids, and then they end up smoking glue and all of that.
Yeah,
but in terms of your family, was there any attempt for them to actually try and get you out?
There was. Look, as I said, I started in grade 8, and obviously that time they didn't find out. So it starts off every once a month, once every 2 months, and then as time goes on, it starts getting it starts getting more frequent, and then. And then I think it was my father passed away. Look, they started noticing that something is up. Because you can't leave on Friday and come back Sunday every week without them noticing something's up. And anyway, I went through, was a problem child, but they never knew I was on drugs until I was about 20, 21. People start talking and they find out.
Okay.
And then my father passed away at 21. And then when he passed away, that's when I took it to a whole new level.
What did you do?
Obviously, a policy paid out, and you know what money does. Money just
makes you go crazy.
It just makes you go crazy if it just amplifies what you're already busy with. And then I went crazy, and then I went to rehab. So I was in rehab. I think that this was now about 22-ish, 23-ish. I went to rehab for about 30 days.
Yeah.
And yeah, rehab was sad. You see things that. There's a whole other world out there.
Yeah,
my man.
Yeah,
there's a whole other world. People get pushed in wheelchairs. People that tried to commit suicide. And I was in there, and I thought to myself, well, I'm not as bad as these guys.
Yeah.
And when I came out of rehab, I was actually worse than what I went in. And anyway, I pushed it for another 2 years, and I think the change came into my life when I was 25. And I thought to myself, I said, listen, you're 25 now, right? I dropped out of 2 universities.
Yeah.
I went to Damlin. I didn't make it past the first 6 months. And I thought to myself,
this was just after you finished high school.
No, this was now. I'm pushing it now to, this was now 24. So from high school, I went to Wits. Mm-hmm. And I was all around Wits except in the university.
Yeah. And what did you go study?
Marketing and business management.
Okay.
Right, so I dropped out of Fitz.
Yeah.
And then the next year I went to Damlin. And I studied marketing and business management again. And I didn't make it past that year either.
Yeah.
Can imagine how my parents were back then, eh?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's when, and then I started getting little jobs at banks, admin jobs, and but in between there, I was still busy, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then I went to rehab. As I said, I went to rehab, came out of rehab, and it went on for a year or two. And then finally, I got to a point where, you know, when you get to a point when you say, yes, oh man, where you have to make a decision.
Sure.
Now, where it's life or death.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that point in your life where it's, if I continue doing what I'm doing now, I could see it. I saw there's 3 options here now. One is jail. 2 is a hobo. And 3 was death.
Yeah.
And I was close to all 3, and those were my options at the time. And I was looking at, and I was in a drug house. I was lying in a single bed. And I think to myself, is this my life? And right there, I don't know what happened. God was God. Because in during that whole time, my family started going to church. So they started praying for me and started. So I think it was that. And in that moment, I said, no, guys, I don't want to do this anymore.
And now at that time, because, I mean, the funny thing is that you got into this thing because of a group.
Yeah.
And now when your life goes down, the group, certain members of the group, in inverted commas, they start shifting away. Now, when you're in that stage, you're telling me that you found yourself in the rehab and you were alone in a single bed.
No, this was not in the rehab. This was in a drug house.
In the drug house.
Yeah.
My bad. So now, at that point, was there anyone that was trying to reach out to you to help you, or everybody had abandoned you?
Look, I think then the people that were really was my family. You know, it's if it wasn't for my mother mainly, I'd probably be dead right now. She kept on, you know, kept on pushing you. Where are you? Because I used to leave Thursday and come back Sunday. I used to stay awake sometimes from Wednesday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And she was the one that kept on pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and praying and that's her and my sister, and those were the people that really with friends in that lifestyle. You don't really have a lot of friends. Each one of you just, you guys, sometimes you guys that chill together, but you're just there for the benefits. I've got the car, you've got the money, we've got the things, connections, and so it's not really true friendship in that environment.
I get
so,
you. I get
that
you.
You're in there.
Yeah. So now, in terms of, I mean, this is already at the age of 25, you had already had such a rough lifestyle.
Yeah.
And a rough upbringing, and experienced so many things that could have just demotivated you and stopped you from pushing and wanting to pursue whatever that you dreamt of.
Yeah.
Now, in the midst of that dungeon, I'm calling it a
dungeon
because
hell.
Because you, I mean, it's a situation that nobody wants to find themselves in, especially being a young person.
Yes.
Now, what is it that kept you wanting to dream and achieve goals? What is it that you, inside of you, in the midst of everything, that kept on pushing you?
You know, in that, I remember, now we used to sit in cars and do all these things sometimes in front of the shops in Rega Park and whatever. And I remember I used to always just say, tell these guys, and I said, look, listen guys, I'm not going to do this forever. And they used to laugh at me and say, listen, and while we're busy just sniffing lines and doing whatever it is, and I just used to say, listen, I'm not going to do this forever. And I think at that time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. But the change came. As I said, my parents were praying. And then that day in that drug house, I made a decision. Because remember, I've tried everything now. I went to rehab. I've tried to stay at home. I've tried to do everything, and nothing worked. And that day I said, listen, I went home. Sunday came, I went to church. I thought, this is, you know, people don't like going, you only go to church when something's really bad.
Yeah.
And I went to church and I said, listen, I've tried everything else. Rehab didn't work. This didn't work. I might as well try this.
Yeah.
Pastor's preaching. He says, if you want to change your life, if you want the peace of God, if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, put up your hand. And I put up my hand that day. And they prayed for me. And that day, I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. And that day, things changed in my life. Amen. And from there, I started dreaming. Before there, I can't even explain it, man. It's like when you talk about it, it's like you're talking about someone else. You know, when you think back,
yeah, because you look, you've at made that person, such a transformation,
and it's been over 8 years now, and you talk back, it's like you're talking about someone else, like two Levi's. Like
yeah,
that was Levi, and this Levi now is two different people.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, cool. So now we're at the point where you're turning around your life,
yeah,
and you see yourself stepping into another phase.
Mm.
You're taking a new route, a new journey.
Yes.
Now you're an entrepreneur,
right?
And how did you begin to start taking steps towards you putting together? What was that first thing that you did?
First thing that I did. I think what happened back then was that the first thing that started was my mother left work.
Yeah.
Right. And then she said, listen, she wants to put this cleaning company together. So we started with a small station in Delmas, where we had one cleaner in a station in Delmas. And I used to be the one to drive to Delmas and make sure that the station, little station, smaller than this room,
okay,
was clean.
Yeah.
And then I started selling perfumes. I don't know if you know these generic perfumes.
Yeah, yeah.
Those little brown bottles.
Yeah, I know them.
You know them.
Yeah.
They smell like the originals, but they're not.
Yeah.
They last like for 2 hours or so. So, and that's how it started.
And so are you trying to say that people get ripped off outside?
No, look, they work. They say it's generic. It smells like the original, but it's not.
Sure.
So you know that beforehand that, this thing smells like Boss or whatever, Hugo Boss, but it's not. It's a generic.
Sure, I get you.
And I used to sell those. I used to buy them for 50 rand. For 600 for 12. And I sold them for 100 rand. So I bought 12. I bought 12 for 600 rand. I sold them for 100 rand. And I made 1,200, which is 100% profit on that.
True, yeah.
And I took that 1-2 and I went and I bought 24. Mm-hmm. And I bought 24 and I sold him. And I took that and I bought more.
Yeah.
And I didn't spend that money at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went and I bought more.
Yeah.
And then I found a place that sells original perfumes.
Sure.
So I took that money, I went to a original place and I bought, I think I that time was like 30,000 rand worth of original perfumes. And I went and I sold that. And then I bought sunglasses. Like I had a friend, a pilot friend that went overseas and used to come back. And I used to buy these Ray-Bans for them from him. And I used to sell the perfumes and sell the Ray-Bans. And that's how it started. That's how the business started. And then I bought the first property.
Yeah.
And then those perfumes weren't, the profit on it wasn't that exciting anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, that's quite an achievement. So you move from just selling perfumes and making a 100% profit, which is what is about 1.2, and you managed to buy a property after a while.
Yeah, it wasn't. There's a bit of time in between there. I'm summarizing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm summarizing. So a few things have happened in that time, and then I always had this property thing. I always had a thing that people are making money from auctions. I don't know where it come from. I probably heard someone or read something and. And I always said, we need to find this auction. We need to find this auction. And then finally, one day, I went to it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I bought the first property. And I used to buy these. I bought the first one. And I sold that first property, I think about... It took me about 8 to 10 months to sell that property. And I made about... I made about 80 grand on that thing. Which is not that exciting now. But back then, it was like, whoa. It was like... Was like, and then I went and I bought the second one, and I bought the third one, and I bought the fourth one, and I bought, and I just kept buying until
you are where you are today.
Yeah, until then.
Now, in terms of who was it that you know, inspired you? Because I mean, I'm sure with many people that are successful, we always say that you don't climb the ladder on your own, and there's always those people that assist you along the road.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, that you turn to even when you fall. You're like, hey, dude. You know, what do I do now? Because yeah. You've been in this path. You know, do you have some of the people that maybe you managed to turn your head to for advice and inspiration, or people that you actually looked up to?
Yeah.
You know, in within that business. And who were those people?
Look, then what I did was, once I started I started going to seminars. You know, these free seminars motivational seminars. And I started going to that. And I think that's where my mindset started changing. Started renewing my mind to say, listen, okay, wow, there's more out there. Guys are doing, and I think that's when I went to seminars, and wherever there was a seminar available, I was there. And I started. Then I went on the you know Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Education.
Yep.
My sister got an email. She said, listen, let's go to this seminar. We went to a seminar at Birchwood Motel, close to the airport.
Sure.
And they used to fly guys from the UK, and they did these seminars. And anyway, I enrolled on the workshop. Went on a 3-day workshop back then, and on that workshop they upsell you, so they sell you coaching and I got a coach that day.
Yeah.
And that guy's name was Andrew Walker, and we're still friends. He's still my coach. I still meet with him. A young guy. He's about 37 now. He's done about over 600 property transactions, and that's when he started. So he took me from where I was, and he said, "Listen, let's make it a business.
Sure,
let's make it a business." It was like a hobby, mm-hmm. and we made it. And I didn't know at the time that I was the first South African to go onto the Rich Dad.
You were the first South African.
I was the first South African coaching student.
Wow. Okay.
And they used to fly the American guys over and fly guys over from the UK. And then he was a South African and I was the first student. And then they wanted to put a South African team together. And I became part of the team, and I became their speaker, mm-hmm. around South Africa and one of the coaches. And so this was about 4 years ago.
All right. So now at that point, now you're pursuing your speaking profession or skill.
Yes.
All right. And how's that been going?
It's been going well. It started off with saying, listen, you've got some property experience, just go out and share your knowledge. And that's how it started. Put a presentation together, went and started sharing property. Firstly, started how beginners can get into the property market, how to raise funds, how to source properties, how to negotiate deals, how to put power teams together. And I started doing the seminars for them.
Sure.
And obviously it started off, like anything, it starts off a bit shaky. Mm. You know, anything that's new is, and then I started, and I'm still one of their speakers, still one of their coaches, we're still with them.
You know what's the interesting thing is that as you speak, I was coming to studio, coming from my place.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday I had a very productive meeting because I also have my own business ventures that I'm doing.
Yes.
And it's so important to always rub your shoulders with people that have achieved quite extensively compared to who you are. Because you know the language, when you speak to someone that has achieved a lot, even if they can say, look, I'm not where I am, but from where you're sitting and where you want to be, you can see that, look, there's actually quite a distance that I need to run.
Yes.
And I was talking to this particular individual. He's a good friend of mine. And he was just telling me his story in terms of, you know, where he started. I mean, he lost stuff and he had to pick himself up, you know, to the point that he got successful.
Yeah.
He got down again to the point that he had to move back home.
Yes.
You know, he said to me that, look, I had a conversation with my parents and my parents kept on pushing me and say, look, go back.
Mm.
And he went back and then he managed to, you know, pull himself up to the point where he is today.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. I was just reflecting on the whole conversation we're having in the car.
Because
he's saying that, yo, bro, you know, I am very close to people. And he's within the mining industry.
Yeah.
And he does some stuff there. And he says, you know, there's some people, guys, that are well over, they're worth about 100 million.
Yeah.
And for them, again, they keep on saying that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I was saying to myself as I was coming to studio and saying to myself that it's all about the mindset. And if your mindset is correct.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is a cliche and we hear it a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a different thing when you actually experience something firsthand, you know, and I mean, you can even experience with some of the most little things that you are doing, some of the smallest achievements. It doesn't have to be something that maybe you're making a million.
Yeah.
It can be as small as the little achievements that you do, because about all that, the whole thing about dreaming is about setting yourself goals.
Yeah.
Whether it's monthly goals, weekly goals, daily goals.
Yeah.
And you see it that if you shift your mind about something, there's a different outcome.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's a positive outcome when you have that positive mentality. And I was saying to myself that, you know, it's all about in the mind. You have to let your mind to stretch.
Yeah.
You have to let your mind to dream big.
Yes.
And at the same time, you have to have that willingness to know that if you fall, don't be a sissy and cry and wanting to be pampered around and all of that. Yes, go to people for advice and all of that and ask, okay, what do I do from here? Because it's all part of learning. And again, it's always a thing whereby you don't have to think you know everything.
Yes.
It is that thing of realizing that there's people that are skilled and are good at what you're not good at.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's very little people that have that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Why am I mentioning that is because you sharing your story and you coming from a situation whereby you were deep into the drug addiction.
Right.
And a problem that even people that are successful still even have today. And unfortunately, as I said, it's something that I note because a lot of young people do suffer from drugs.
Yeah.
And again, today it's still seen as a cool thing. You know, they get entangled into the drugs thing. And you know, you find that maybe someone grew up in a proper living home. Now, with your story, it's so unique because when I listen to you and you mention the things that happened to your life, it's all about the mindset. And you kept on changing your mindset from one stage to the next, from one stage to the next, from one stage to the next, until you are where you are, where today you're actually an entrepreneur and you're owning as many estates as you are.
Yeah.
Now, for a young person that is out there at home that is demotivated.
Yeah.
And they're probably into drugs or they caught up in drugs, whatever it is that is pulling them back. What is it that you can say to them back home as a form of inspiration, as a speaker as well, because now you're not only an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, and you stand in platforms and you empower young people and you empower people to push to the limit.
Yeah. Ooh, to someone who's in drugs or down and out. So I would say, the first thing I would say is, look, for me, I'm gonna talk with my experiences, right? Sometimes it's good to be at a place where you're down and out. It's good to be there, because if I wasn't at that, if everything was just okay, I was never gonna change. And that's a sad thing what I see with a lot of people. Their lives are just okay. And they don't have the motivation to change, because everything is okay. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's okay. And so if for someone who's actually down and out now, you're in a good place. That's a good place to be in right now, because right now you can actually get up and say, listen, now I'm at this place. I can't go lower than this. The only way from here is up. Now, and it's challenging, because for everyone it's a different thing, right? For some people it might be, I don't know, depression, drugs, financial, whatever it is. But then whatever your challenge is, right, I would find someone, as you said, I would find someone who has come out of that to give me, and if that is not someone, I went to church personally. I went to church and I said, God, I need help. Tried everything, and that's a good place to start. I would say that's a perfect place to start.
Yeah,
with whatever it is that you're going through at the moment. But whatever it is, it's a good place to be, because now you can say, okay, this is where I am, and now I can start finding ways, reading books, going to church, finding people who are doing what you want to do successfully, as you say, hanging around positive people. I always say that if you are the most ambitious and successful person in your social circle, it's time to find new friends. Change your friends. And sometimes it's good to even to be alone and say, listen, let me withdraw from friends, from whatever it is. And let me just sit and think about my life for a while. Just be honest to myself. Look myself in the mirror and say, what is the problem? Why are you doing this? And what do you think that you can do? And talking to yourself. So I'm not sure if that is, but yeah. So that's what I would say. So if you are at a low place, it's a good place to be, because now you can move up. Now you can move up.
Now, in terms of yourself, is there anything that you regret that has happened before that has pushed you to where you are today? And basically, what is it that you would have done differently to what you have experienced before?
You know, they asked me this question once, and I thought about it. And I thought, what would I have done differently? I thought, shouldn't I have done that? And I thought, I wouldn't have done anything different. The experience, the failures, the mistakes, the sadness, the heartache, the whatever it was I had to go through, because if I didn't go through that, I wasn't going to be here where I am now. And some of us have to go through these things because then we can come back and tell people that, listen, there's a way out of this. I wouldn't change anything, honestly. It wasn't nice. It wasn't fun. It started off fun though, mm-hmm. but it ended in sadness. But I wouldn't change anything, because I think all of that sadness, all of that drugs, all of the heartache has really molded me and made me the person that I am today.
All right, cool. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. I've got a beautiful wife, Montez.
All right.
Yeah, we're expecting our first child. So we're excited about that.
Congratulations.
So yeah, I've been married for about a year, almost. I think in August it'll be 2 years. I don't know, you do the math there.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be 2 years. Yeah, so we're expecting our first baby. We Yeah, it's, man, it's exciting times. It's exciting times.
Okay, that's really great. And again, it's something again that I ask, that are you married? Because, you know, the way that your life has changed from, again, the rough experiences to putting yourself together, and now you're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, now you have a family to look after and all of that. I mean, I always say that, I'm not saying that maybe to the guys that are successful and they don't have families, and are not married, it's incomplete. But I have this theory in my mind that, you know, when you have a family and you have that space and you have your business and stuff that you're pursuing, I think God would bless you a lot.
Yeah,
you understand, because there's that sense of peace. Okay, forget about everything that is, you know, an integrity that isn't between, that can, you know, hard times, which is part of everything.
Yeah.
But I think that when you get to a level whereby you're doing well in your business, you have a family, you're expecting a child, and you're excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing to have in life. And again, in terms of, let's talk about some of the stuff that you do in terms of your businesses.
Okay. So I started off buying and selling properties. So I started off buying and selling a lot of flipping them. We call them flipping them. So I buy distressed properties, I buy them at auctions, I buy them low, I renovate them, and I'll sell them on. And then what I also do is I've also got houses where I've got rooms, where I cut the house up and I rent out the rooms. I've got buy to lets, which I buy flats. I'm actually busy with an exciting project right now where we're buying a building. Mm-hmm. And it's retail and 9 units. We'll be converting it to about 30 units.
Sure.
2 bedrooms, bachelor. So that's what I'm... It's one of the deals that I'm with a couple, but that's the one of the more exciting ones that I'm busy with now. We're converting a building, inner city building, to about 30 units. So it's probably bachelors, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So that's quite exciting. But and then what we've also done is we've also created a platform, because as an investor for the last five, the main challenges investors have is it's to find deals. Right, is to find good, profitable investment properties. Now, you can't always find that from estate agents because they're trying to get the most of it. You can't always find it on the other big property platforms. So,
that is
some people even have money. The money is the easy part. You know, money. It's easier to find money than to find deals.
Is it
profitable deals? I'm not talking about just buying any house.
Okay,
because buying any house is not an investment.
All right,
I'm talking about buying an investment property that's going to give you a return on your investment and put some money in your pocket.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not always easy doing that. And so what we've done is we've created a platform. Right? It's called Property Pick, where we motivated sellers can come. Now, motivated seller would be someone that is financially distressed, their business is not doing well, emigrating, can come and put their properties on our website, and we'll connect them to investors. So on this website, we'll have vacant land, we'll have commercial property, we'll have industrial, we'll have residential properties. We're going to have everything on this website. All right? So where an investor can come in, get these properties, deal directly with the sellers. So this cuts out the estate agents as well. Deal directly with the sellers, get the property at a good price. All right? On this website, we have power team members, which are your professionals that you need around property. Your attorneys, your architects, your electricians, your plumbers, they can come advertise their services on this website. We also have offer to purchases, lease agreements, freehold, sectional title. So we basically created a one-stop property shop for an investor to come get a property, get the power team, get the documents, get advice, and we put that all together.
All right. You know, it's interesting that you actually talk about property, because we're at a phase in our country whereby, you know, let's get the land back. And, you know, this whole property thing, I mean, it took us time as black people to actually enter into that space.
Yeah.
And we do know that it's got a very high white-dominated, you know, percentage as opposed to black people.
Mm.
What are some of the challenges that you faced of you going to the property business? And how did you overcome them?
Look, with property, it's you need to get out of your comfort zone. With property as an investor, what you need to do is you always need to find deals and you need to find money. And sometimes it's a lot of money. All right? I've just raised, I think it was yesterday, I've just raised like $1.4 million for a project that I'm busy with. So those are some of the things. But what most people want to get, they want to get into property, but they don't want to educate themselves on property. Do you understand? They want to take the short route. They want to buy a house, but they don't want to educate themselves on property. And the challenges, you know, look, it's not easy.
And you know, it's funny that you say it's not easy, because I mean, this property thing is like, as long as you have money, you buy a building, you renovate it, you get people in to rent. I mean, you get your return back, and you just do that. I mean, for me personally, I didn't think that there would be that much difficulty, as long as you have the funds in your pocket.
As long as you have the funds. But even if you have 100 million, if you keep buying, you're going to get to a point where that money runs out.
How?
If let's say you have 10 million, right? You buy 10 townhouses in Sandton. Now, how much do you have left now? You got nothing. All right, now you've got the rentals coming in. So the challenges with property, what you need to educate yourself in is to buy properties that will pay you, to buy an asset, something that will put money into it. Because a lot of people buy property and they think they're buying assets and they're buying liabilities. Because then what happens is, let's say they get a bond, they can get 2-3 bonds. So they buy 2-3 properties, but the rental doesn't cover the bond, doesn't cover the maintenance, it doesn't cover the management, doesn't cover the rates. And now they pay 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 to those properties every month. Now those assets are those liabilities. They just bought liabilities. It sounds good, I bought 3-4 houses, but you actually put yourself in a 100%. Very uncomfortable position there.
Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to hear from your side, because there's a lot of people that are not aware of the challenges that are involved within property. I mean, again, as I said, the thing that is just a matter of buying a building, but the expenses that are involved in it, I mean, whatever that is involved, I don't think people are very educated enough to actually know about these things.
Yeah.
What are some other things that maybe you can share from your side as a person in this business that might be that people don't actually hear a lot of?
Okay, firstly, if someone wants to get into property, I would say, see where you are now. All right, where are you now? Are you employed? Do you have your own business? Are you unemployed? Because anyone can get into it. It's not that you have to have a lot of money to get into it. You just need the right knowledge, the right skills, be in the right networks, and be pushed in the right direction. So you need to find out, where are you now? Okay, if you've got a job, okay, well, how do you get paid? You get paid till, what's your income? Can we go to the banks? No, we can't go to the bank. If you've got a business, you need to see, okay, how's your business doing? Do you have financials? All right. But I would say, first, see where you are and what do you want to get out of property. Do you want cash flow? Do you want to get into commercial? Do you want to get into industrial? Do you want to get into distress, buying and selling? So first, see what your strategy is. So that's what we say. We call it SAP. It's strategy. What's your strategy? Am I going to flip properties? Am I going to have rooms where I rent out? Am I going to buy little flats? Am I going to go into commercial? Now we say, okay, where are you now? Okay, let's start with, let's say, buying little flats. Okay, now let's look for an area where that strategy works. Because let's say you wanna get into cash flow and you wanna buy flats, you would probably not go to Sandton because the prices are high and the rentals are not going to cover your expenses. So now we say, okay, where does that strategy work, in which area? Now we go look for an area where that strategy works. Once we have the area, now we go look for a property in that area. Does that make sense?
I get you.
So first we find out where you are, what your strategy is, what do you want to get out of property? Because in property you can go a million ways.
Yeah.
Right? You can go Airbnb, you can go buy to lets, you can go flips, you can go commercial, you can go industrial, you can go into developments. And I think now we look for the property, but where we start is, depending on your finances and your experience, there's a triangle. Now, at the bottom of the triangle is where beginners start, where it's safe, the base. That's where you'll get you into your buy to lets. And then you'll go up into your HMOs and your flips, which is buying and selling. And then as your experience grows, you move up towards the commercial, towards the industrial, towards the developments. Because as you go upper, the returns get bigger, but the risk is also higher.
All right. Now, I'm a person that wants to get into property, and I'm thinking, maybe I should go to the bank and lend some money so that I can buy that property, you know, and see over time, whatever money that I make from there, I pay off the bank. And hopefully, I make a little bit of money for myself in the midst of everything once I've dealt with all the monies that I have to pay off. Or I'm a person where I'm thinking, okay, let me try and approach the business route where I ask for investors, people invest their money, or I manage to gather together maybe a couple of partners, we put together money and we just buy property.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of those two routes, which one is the most less risky, and which one is the most risky, and what are the challenges between the two ways, and can the both ways work, and which one is more preferable?
Look, both ways can work. Both ways can work. If you don't have payslip, banks love payslips. They love payslips, or your business has to have financials. I think it's 24 months financials. So
sure.
So it's not that the banks don't want to give you money. The banks just want you to be more professional. A lot of people are negative of the banks don't want to give us money. No, the bank just wants you to be more professional. So you need to understand what they want. Once you understand what the banks want, you set yourself up according to what they want.
Sure.
Now, if you get payslips, you can go to the bank and get a couple of bonds. You just need to make sure that the properties you are buying will be able to cover your expenses and pay back the banks. And the bank will work on affordability.
Yeah.
Right, so after a while, your affordability runs out. Now, if you go to investors, you also need to be professional, because they want to know who you are, what have you done, what do you want my money for, and how are you going to get it back to me. Now, if you can give them that answer, then and you don't need many of those people. You need one guy with a bit of bucks, and you can recycle that money into every deal. Put it in and take it out.
All right, cool.
So both work. I use investors, and then I go to the banks every now and again, and then I go to investors and I go to the banks. So I use both. But obviously with this, you need to educate yourself. You need to get on a course. You need to get around people who are doing it. Put together an investment proposal. And so, but both work.
All right, cool. And now, in terms of your business, where do you see yourself or you see your business at in the next 5 years?
Look, in the next 5 years, the property pick, we are looking to have 1 million subscribers on property pick. All right. That's the one business, that's where we're going to put all our focus on now. Right, is to get it to 1 million subscribers. These are now power team members, investors, guys that are loading their properties on there. We want to take it international, starting going up Africa, Namibia, look up Kenya, start going up to Africa, and then look at the UK after that, take it international. So that's where we want to take that business. So we're really going to push the property pick business. So that's exciting. So if you want to be an investor, you want to get some below, and you want to save yourself time. All right, the site just went live this week, so we're loading all the properties on there. We've got a few power team members on there. Go check it out, and that's where you can come and find good deals and deal directly with sellers on there.
Yeah.
And then from the property side, the business or the investment side.
Sure.
Just some advice, where you want to get with properties, you want your property portfolio to start to equal and exceed your basic living expenses, the income. Now that's when you're financially free, is when the income from your properties equal and exceed your basic living expenses. So for someone, that's where you want to be. Where I'm going was, now I'm focusing on buying these big inner city buildings now. So we're starting now I bought a lot of houses, but now moving up to the buildings where we're doing this 30 units. And that's why I'm going to start buying them about 2-3 a year. So for the next 5 years, probably get it to about 100 million.
Sure. Look, man, it's so inspiring to see a young black South African doing so well, especially these volatile situations. And there was someone that was saying the other day that If you're a person that is always negative, especially with the things that are being said about our country, that actually demotivates you to think that there's actually possibilities and there's room for improvement and to achieve, you will not achieve anything.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are people out there that have positive minds and are taking those opportunities and gaps and capitalizing on them. And it's actually working out whereby people are being so successful. There is so much that is in this country that people are not aware of. And I think it is sad that it gets blurred or mystified by the political tensions and situation that we see on television or we hear on radio.
Yeah.
But I think that if you are an entrepreneur and realizing that you are being tossed in a land full of wolves and lions and all of that, and you need to fight for your spot. That is why it's so nice to learn from nature and how nature works.
Yeah.
And there's so many lessons that as human beings we can take from them and apply them into either our careers, our situations in life, and whatever the case is. And it's so beautiful to hear your story and sharing it on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Yeah. And it's been such a pleasure. We're actually reaching the end of the show. And it's been such a pleasure. It's been very quick. We actually call it...
Yeah, time flies on you.
We normally say this is the shortest hour of the week.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's always exciting. And I think thank you so much for sharing your experience, especially for the part where you talked about your drug addiction phase of your life.
Yeah.
And it makes it more inspiring because I know that we hear a lot of drug addiction stories and all of that and whatnot, but it's always nice to be refreshed and to be reminded that there's people that actually conquered this thing and it's possible. And to those people that are listening on the show from back home and again from the offices, from their phones, wherever they are, and they know, maybe they know friends, they know family members, it is very possible. And I don't know, maybe you want to share what it is that that person can do to actually try and overcome their drug addiction problem. Because I think it's within my heart that I really feel like we should share this on this platform.
You know, with addictions, people say just stop. That's why it's an addiction. You can't just stop. Now, I'm not coming against rehabs, but they say that you need to confess that you are an addict. And now the challenge I had with that is if you keep on saying you're an addict, what happens? You stay an addict. So my thing is you need to honestly, truly, you need to get delivered from this. It's actually a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You need to get delivered. So for me, I would say if you want to get, and this is what worked for me. I went to rehab. I've tried to stay at home. I bought an Xbox to play games and thought I was going to do that. I made a decision. I said, listen, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to ask God to help me in this.
Yeah.
I would say that find a good church that teaches the Bible.
All right.
And go and speak to someone that can pray with you and church that can support you through this.
All right, cool. Just last words, anything that you have, where can people get you?
Check our website on www.propertypick.co.za. So this is a website for investors, for power team members. If you want to advertise your services on there, if you want to find good deals, if you want to get OTPs, lease agreements on there, go check out the website and subscribe to the website. In the next 2 days, we're loading quite a lot of good investment property deals on there. You can also catch me on Facebook, Leroy Slava, and Twitter, Leroy Slava. And yes, send me a message, check out the website, and looking forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. You're a certified hustler, and we thank you. Thank you so much for your time and honoring the invite to come to the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it for having me.
All right. Cool. So to everyone back home, thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're on online, whether you're on the phone. Thank you so much for supporting the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We are here with you every single Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m. on the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. You can hashtag us at Unplugged Radio Show on social media, and you can tag me at Sbokuzi. Yes, this is me signing out. CliffCentral.com.